It's a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
Folk rock legend David Crosby has died at the age of 81. He was a co-founder of two iconic bands. The Byrds were early pioneers of psychedelic rock. Crosby, Stills, and Nash melded pop harmonies of the 50s with the folk revival of the 60s. In a Fresh Air interview, Crosby's former bandmate Graham Nash recalled the first time the trio sang together.
Whatever vocal sound that Crosby, Stills, and Nash has was born in less than 40 seconds. No rehearsing, that vocal blend, it happened instantly, and we all knew it. So much that we all actually stopped singing the song and started to laugh, because it was silly.
Helplessly holding her harlequin, hovers nearby, awaiting a word.
That fateful meeting took place in a house in Laurel Canyon, which in the 60s was a bohemian enclave in the Hollywood Hills. Here with more on the legacy of David Crosby is Michael Walker, author of a book about the Laurel Canyon scene. Michael, Crosby didn't write many of the songs for the Byrds or Crosby, Stills, and Nash, so how was he important then to the sound of both bands?
Oh, he's interesting. He's like, if you're making a bottle of wine with Cabernet Sauvignon grapes, for example, they'll often add a dash of Merlot as a blending grape. Because when you listen to their vocals, you hear David, you hear Graham Nash and Stephen Stills a little more distinctly than you do David Crosby. But his voice, his little keening tenor, was the glue that held that all together. If you take that piece out, as Graham Nash just said, it doesn't sound like them anymore. But the three of them together is absolutely unmistakable. That meeting also was brokered by Mama Cass Mamas and the Papas at her house in the canyon. And she was a person that knew harmony quite well from being in her band. And she could hear what they were going to do before they ever did it. And they were amazed. They came up to her afterwards. How did you know? How did you know this? And she just did, because she kind of knew everything. She was sort of
Mama Cass. She knew.
Yeah, the Diane of Laurel Canyon.
She absolutely knew. Tell us about some of the very dark times that Crosby also went through.
Well, he was a man that really was a sensualist. He and Cass were very good friends, and they were both like that. They liked good food, good dope, good sex. He liked everything, and this is a man that could con a 76-foot schooner across the Pacific for thousands of miles with a joint in one hand and a sextant in the other. So he was, you know, he could manage it for a while, and then it got out of control in the 80s with freebase cocaine and other things. But he did eventually pull himself back in, and it's a tribute to his talent and his perseverance that he was able to end his career performing again.
Well, what more can you tell us about David Crosby as a person? Because it sounds like he certainly never held back when it came to enjoying life.
No, he did not. I mean, he said a really interesting thing one time in his biography. He said he loved things that were better made than they had to be made. And it really struck me as a really interesting point of view for life and for his career. Because if in the studio, he was known to be a pretty difficult guy, but he was always pushing the envelope with the musicians he worked with to not just get it good, but to get it great.
Michael Walker is the author of Laurel Canyon, the inside story of rock and roll's legendary neighborhood. Michael, thank you.
Thank you for having me.